Examples which were given in the conversation as well as some supplementary examples. So before we start, we see, am I audible to you? Audible now? So before we see start, we see Prabhupada taking the role of what is called an elder advocate. So Prabhupada really just wanted devotees to be trained to be philosophical skills to present Krishna consciousness in a persuasive and convincing way. Especially Prabhupada takes the role of the opposite party. And sometimes we use the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they had not taken the general people. And he taught philosophy, taught us a philosophy with Prabhupada and Prabhupada. That is true. At the same time, we have to recognize the fact that culture was different. The moral culture and the culture of the people naturally have doubts. So, Shri Prabhupada, generally if you look at most of his conversations, or even most of his interactions with new people, he doesn't tell them the standard. He talks philosophy. Through logic and philosophy, he convinces them of the necessity to practice Krishna consciousness. Of course, our ultimate goal is to practice Krishna consciousness, that means to chant Hare Krishna. That's our goal, and that's our goal in interacting with others. But without a proper philosophy and understanding, people cannot be really convinced, and they cannot sustain Krishna consciousness practice for a very long time. That's why the Prabhupada is really good practicing the devotees. Logically and philosophical presentation. So here, let's go over this. Most of the points are very well covered. So the first point is, everybody is trying to be happy, whether it is science or spirituality, both are meant for the same purpose. And what is the essential difference between the two? The essential difference between science and spirituality is that science tries to subordinate nature to human desire in the pursuit for happiness. Whereas spirituality trains us to subordinate human desire to nature in the pursuit for happiness. So that's the difference. So there is the Supreme Lord, there is Ishvara, the Prakriti, and Jiva. The three elements are it. So now, technology is based on either assuming the non-existence of God or at least the irrelevance of God. Because God exists or not, it doesn't matter. So when you remove God, then there is Prakriti and Jiva. And it is an obvious fact of material existence that Prakriti, Tham, Karshati. All of us are struggling, suffering. You can see in Japan. It is Japan's story of progress is one of the most remarkable stories in modern times. After the devastation in the Second World War with the atom bombs, Japanese worked very hard at this time. But then just a series of triple disasters, earthquake, tsunami, and a nuclear plant explosion. And Rishi is practically in shambles now. So, this is the conflict between nature and the living entity, humanity and nature. And what is the attempt of technology? To subordinate nature to human will and thus become happy. That is the whole purpose of technology. So this conflict is something which is known to everyone. They may not explicitly spell it out. But in general, everybody acknowledges that the cause of suffering is that we are not able to make things in the world the way we want them. So this is the other simple definition. It is to not get what we want and to get what we don't want. So why does it happen that we don't get what we want or we get what we don't want? Because let's leave God out for the time being, because not everybody may accept God. But from the objection point of view, nature doesn't always act according to human desire. And that's why there is conflict. So, science tries to resolve conflict by trying to make nature subordinate to human beings. If I'm growing old, let me find some medicine. Let me get cured. And then I'll be happy. So, that is the point that Prabhupada made. First, we are making scientific progress. But we should never become perfect if we don't serve. Prabhupada doesn't accept that. Prabhupada said, that is just begging the question. You said you cannot be happy without serving God, and they are just repeating the same point. Why can we not be happy? So, from the philosophical point of view, nature is not under our control. Although, to some extent, for some time, it may appear that we have control over nature. But at any moment, nature can spin out of our control. And once it spins out of our control, it can be relaxed too. Japan didn't have control of nature for a long time. It must be 40, 50 years. It was one of the most progressive nations in the modern times. But then, one moment which is similar to countries. And then there is relaxation. Same with our body. We were young and healthy and enjoying life. But it is still controlled at any moment. Any moment, and then there can be terrible agony. So the other way to try to become happy is to subordinate human desires to each other. Now this is a simple, usually unparalleled, because that means we are acknowledging that we are not the controller, that we are the control. So now of course, how we subordinate our desires to nature? Actually, if we understand that our nature is higher and we seek happiness by a higher means, then we can harmonize with nature. So that is the next point which the Prabhupada talks about. Now, before this is a very interesting point. It is pleasure is temporary. So, the temporariness of material pleasure is something which materialists find very unpalatable, not just to experience but also to acknowledge. Sometimes when these sort of disasters occur, then typically the point of life. Oh, you work so hard, you build a have a house, you have a family, you have a job. Why not? You have everything. What is the point of living? And then I said, oh, that is composition. But actually, it's difficult to understand. Many people come to the same question by going down the expressway of pleasure. Because in material life, the more we enjoy, we realize that enjoyment is a dead end. Because how much can a person enjoy? So within 20, 30, 40 years, many people, they may achieve practically all their dreams. The basic life, the dreams are unlimited. But if you see, the basic level of dream is what? You know, I want to have my own job, I want to have my career, I want to have a new partner, I want to be happy. So, in many times, our desires get frustrated. On a few occasions, our desires are fulfilled. But even when our desires are fulfilled, what happens next? It's over. After some time, it's over. Okay, India won the World Cup. Big euphoria. But what after that? Okay, won, but what after that? It is today, and because actually you see, there's a difference between material pleasure and spiritual pleasure. In spiritual pleasure, you know, the remembrance also brings pleasure, and along with it brings purification to greater ways. For example, you know, we may have to dance and sing a kirtan, but somebody doesn't give them a temperate. After the kirtan is over, the pleasure is over. Okay, you dance and kirtan and you are happy. I was kirtan and I was happy. And your kirtan got over, my limit got over, both are temperate. What is the difference? The difference is that, if you see, they quoted that verse, which points from the beginning point in the other verse, that is 18.38-40. So Krishna says, yet tat agre vishyamiva parinami sukhamiva tat sukham sattvikam proktam astam sivasavacham. So, Krishna says very important thing that not only is it nectar in the end, but it also bestows atma buddhi. Prasad means bestow, one thing. So what is the byproduct or what is the result of enlightened enjoyment?
If we are the user spiritual intelligence, it purifies us.
So yes, as long as we are in the material world, all forms of enjoyment are temporal, whether they are material or spiritual. But the difference is that spiritual enjoyment, the more it becomes purified, the more it lasts longer and longer and longer. Whereas material enjoyment, no matter what we do, we cannot make it last forever. We cannot make it last forever simply because it depends on external conditions. And external conditions cannot always be congenial to our enjoyment. From a cross perspective, yes, India was the second world cup. But how long is India going to live? Once, twice, thrice. There's no permission in that. So, and then in material life, the remembrance itself does not bring much happiness. Because external is illusory, superficial illusory. But in spiritual life, the remembrance also brings not just happiness but purification. And it takes us closer to my life. Yes, we all have some of them have wonderful time. And so forth. But the remembrance is fibrous. It is redirect from the track first to the higher happiness. So, spiritual happiness by its nature is eternal. Material happiness by its nature is temporary. But currently, we are in a no man's land. So we are not in the material, we cannot be entirely in the materialistic world because we are good, we are spiritual. But we cannot be entirely spiritual right now because we are material body. So with the material body, because of the limitations of the material body, whatever we experience will be temporary. If we dance and feel dance, yes, dancing is happy, but the material body has limitations. And that's why we want to get tired. Then you have to stop dance. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he has such a body, dancing, and all the other devotees were tired. Now they couldn't physically continue dancing. But they didn't have the heart to stop from learning when they were done. So what to do? Then Sri Damodar got an idea. What he did was, he did not stop dancing, but just slowed down the kingdom. Slowed down, stop. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lost his track, his internal consciousness. And what was taking the class was the holy name. And then people went down, and then no matter what happened, why did people stop?
And then,
So, it is a fact that at material level, all happiness is temporary, as long as the material body. But what is going to happen is, at our level, even our spiritual happiness depends on our material body and material sense. For example, you know, when we take darshan of Krishna, we use our eyes. When we dance and use them, we have to use our hands and legs. By this, by engaging our senses, we are deepening our Krishna connection. And as our Krishna connection becomes deeper and deeper, we will not need the senses to connect with Krishna. That means, the most of us, now, if we are a fan or some cricketer or some movie star, you close your eyes and it still comes in the mind. Don't try it. But it comes. Why? Because the connection was so much that even the external senses were not acting through the internal connection. But now, if we keep practicing this consciousness, what will happen is, with our senses, we are deepening our Krishna connection. And then our Krishna connection is deeper. Eventually, even if our senses are exhausted, still at a spiritual level, the soul will be connected with Krishna. And that time, our spiritual happiness will become eternal. It will no longer remain temporary. So, that's why, at a material level, this is your way of enjoying. This is my way of enjoying. Cricket is your way, cricket is my way. And somebody else is drinking is your way. So, but the difference is, and although all of them at our level may be temporary, one will take us to a different life. The other will never take us to a different life. So, the word condition soul means that we are dependent on external conditions. And that's why we will see that sometimes, you know, somebody is driving a car and he wants to go fast. press the accelerator. Someone passed away, you want to move faster. Just press it more. It's really hard work. Ultimately, how much I want to press the accelerator? Ultimately, no matter how much you press the accelerator, the car is still, it cannot move you on its feet. Like that, in materialistic people, when they keep pressing down the pleasure button, more, try to enjoy more and more things. Okay, first of all, there is normal sensual enjoyment, male and female, but then you can have through movies and internet. You know, what happens to movies and internet? See, then in the material world, the sense of things, some of them are good, some of them are not so good, and some of them are quite poor. But the, of course, the ones actually, all of them are like, are usual. But what happens to the media, we get a selective picture of materialism, where only all the good looking sense objects are shown to us. And that increases the craving. And then what happens? There is a conflict between the imagined and the desired world and the experience of the actual reality. The imagined and the desired world is what is created by the movies, by the internet. Everything is so enjoyable and all the best sense of this are good. But what is the actual reality? The experience, the actual reality is not just something. And that's why people get frustrated.
Yeah. So you see that, so many people are talking about personal enjoyment now and people are analyzing it.
But what is the actual reason? People are dissatisfied. That's why they have divorces, they have fights and quarrels and they break apart in the marriages. You try to press the pleasure button down more and more. Okay, not just physical enjoyment, we'll have imaginary enjoyment, television, then we can have not just heterosexuality, we can have homosexuality, we can have so many things going on. But at all that, what they're trying to do is simply press the pleasure button more and more. But there's a limit to it. Okay, you can have one day marriages, you have T20, then you have IPS, just keep pressing it down more and more and more. But there is a limit. We can go on a limit. So, the point I am making is that actually, if we are fortunate, at the end of material enjoyment, we recognize the pointlessness of material existence. Just as misery gets the thing, tsunami comes and destroys everything. What's the point of life? Similarly, people who go down the path of material enjoyment, actually everything that is there to enjoy by you, what is the point of life? What is remaining to do? In India, because social and cultural restrictions are there, you don't get so much opportunity for free enjoyment, all that culture. But in the West, there are no such limitations. People can enjoy free. But objectively, statistics tell us that people are not happy. Many drugs, people are being suicide. Why? Because even as long as we are in the situation that material enjoyment makes us happy, our life has a purpose of pursuing material enjoyment. But once material enjoyment betrays us, we enjoy and nothing to it. What to do? The life becomes purposeless. And the only thing that people can do is try to repeat the same act in more and more wild and uncontrolled ways, and then nothing happens. So, if we are a little subtle intelligent, then we can see the pointlessness of material existence through the miseries and through the pressures. And therefore, the devotee understands that living life more. That is higher in some of the pressures. So, yes, as long as we are material consciousness, we will be tempted by pleasure, we will be disturbed by things. But if it's not, those are ultimately distractions. The pain is a distraction, the pleasure is a distraction. Let me rather find it out. So, Srila Prabhupada goes on with this conversation, and then he tells us one argument Prabhupada doesn't accept. This is the argument that hurts us. Now, this is called validation. For example, now in modern culture, it's very serious validation. Actually, according to the modern vocabulary, it is politically incorrect to call a prostitute a prostitute. You know, all are professional sex workers. So,
compare professional to professional sex workers.
So, the idea is people don't like religion. This is impossible. And Prabhupada is playing the role of an atheist. He doesn't accept annihilation. The human person, I am a very first class. So, you know, validation is good as a shock therapy to join the world. This is not even a 10 class of one, this is 10 class
of
for those who have faith in Prabhupada, it's a shock. It joins the world. But for those who are not yet developed, they say, validation, they can be that you people are just opinionated. You know, opinionated, you are very attached to your opinion. And that's what they get intoxicated and that's opinionated. You are attached to your opinion and you want to enforce your opinion on people. So, in general, these validations are essential for us to understand what is right and what is wrong. But when we are dealing with non-devotees, value judgment as an argument will not work. For example, you know, many languages, suppose like science proves that there is no law. Now, as a value judgment, we can find it as any other law. That's what they want to say. But once we make a value judgment, there is no opportunity then for rational discussion. If you just say that you are religion and religion, how can we discuss it? How can we pursue it? So, value judgments are for our understanding. Value judgments are not for labeling others in their presence. Because that is easier to do. So, that's why I am saying, if you see the Ramana Maharaj's lectures, he doesn't even use the word karmis. Karmis also, the word being is the word, it's only value judgment alone. So, basically, you say non practitioner, non devotees, non practitioner, non judgmental word. Non practitioner. And one says, yeah, when we use words, often Prabhupada uses the same word with compassion. And people use the same word with ours. And people can sense that. So, now Prabhupada's books are filled with encouragement. We call the scientists as fools and rascals. But Prabhupada told Prabhupada Sadhana Maharaj that when you interact with scientists, you have to be polite with them. You have to be polite with them. So, validations can very easily alienate people. And except the Prabhupada doesn't accept that. You also have to ask, I consider it first. So therefore, then the devotee goes forward. And then he says, yes. Yeah, Krishna says, why do you think I come back to me? I don't want to go back. So now one practical problem is that we can't expect people to take the same leaps of faith that we have taken. No, we have taken a leap of faith in accepting Bhagavad Gita as a thought. And eventually people will also take a leap of faith. But not initially. Not initially. Now what is the difference between eventually and initially? See, scripture itself has some aspects. This is a whole topic. I have given a Muslim level. Then it's very precious. See, most people in our time basically have faith in logic. Logic. Something can be reasonable, logical, people will accept it. That's why initially we pray present based on logic. And we present scriptural truths based on logic. And when we present scriptural truths based on logic, then people accept it. Because they are accepting the scripture, they are accepting logic. But when they find logic and scripture agrees with logic, they say, okay, scripture might also make sense. And when they find that scripture works, there is a practical element. Then they will become in the leap of faith that we have taken. Oh! Then even if scripture doesn't lead to logical analysis, then they will accept it. Therefore, the preaching is a great strategy. It's not just speaking whatever comes in our mind, even if it avoids the scripture. There was this conversation which I talked about several times. One devotee came to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, the great Krishna scholars, and we tell them that Maharaja Rudra Singh had 1 million personal bodyguards. they don't believe us. You say, that is more the population of the world than that.
There is a hundred million or 2 million people, something like that, the census is there.
So, where are they living? And where are they bathroom and toilet? God, you can say Krishna is Ashanti Shakti, you know.
Like Baba Ramana said in some lecture back.
So, Krishna can see the whole population of the planet on the tip of a needle. Krishna can do that.
But in this regard, what do you answer that?
So what does Prabhupada say? Prabhupada says, of all 80,000 verses of the Bhagavad, what is the only thing that you found to be in the world? So, now we have to present according to the level of the people. Yes, even if we are present in scripture, we have to present that part of scripture which is logical sense to you. And then gradually, when they have logical sense and they have practical experience of the truth of scripture, then they can be ready to take the leap of faith which we have. Therefore, I don't want to go back to it. The Prabhupada says that. And then, after the devotee tries to, this is a very, very uncompassionate way of preaching. Now, Srila Prabhupada talks about it in some places. But in that regard, when we interact with some of these. See, when disaster like this occur, for example, the tsunami occurs, it is very devotionally incorrect to say that people are suffering because of their own problem. It is philosophically correct, it is devotionally incorrect. You know, some of you may have seen the recording of Pranam Maharaj speaking on tsunami. There is one word about karma over this. Because, yes, people are suffering. And at that time, people need so much. Just, you know, imagine somebody has got diabetes. And vomiting and blood is coming out and then heavy fever. And at that time, the doctor says, I told you don't eat sugar. Why are you eating sugar? I'm curious. At that time, it's an emergency. At that time, emergency treatment has to of course, if you don't tell the patient why he is suffering, you are not doing proper service. The doctor is neglecting you. But the doctors are chastising the patient when he is on the verge of death, because he is being very compassionate. So, yes, there is a time which the doctor will panic, tell about karma. But then there is a time when these sort of disasters have occurred, then we can talk about how later in life he is so. Yes. What is central to this one system? And what is the center of God? You go with something. You can make strength already alone. So, there are some things that will be philosophically correct, but then devotionally entirely incorrect. Entirely incorrect. Now, that's why, as devotees, we aspire to be transcendental. But often, if in the name of being transcendental, we neglect normal human digital behavior. Then, we can be very counterproductive in our teaching. Rather than bring people closer to Krishna, we may drive people away from Krishna. So, the tapa, from the reason that is very, very uncompassionate. See, what we need to do is, yes, we are suffering, we need to give them helping hand in that. And if we are not ready to accept the loss, that's fine. There's no need to alienate that person. Yes. You have a different way of thinking, and I have a different way of thinking. So there's no point in telling you this question. And it would be nice if you don't have to tell this question. If somebody is obstinate, there's no point in us compromising with them or wasting our time. But the same time, there's no need to spoil the relationship. Because eventually, we have planted the seed of by our very interaction with them. And if you get the appreciation for you, which is the nice thing, then what will happen? Eventually, when the trouble comes in the life, you will want to turn towards Krishna.
So, sir, what is Prabhupada?
You are putting the mental pressure on you, putting some pressure. So, actually, we have to follow up, we have to many Christians. Some of them are called evangelists. Evangelists are very aggressive creatures. So, yes, we should. Present God is simple. If you push people too much, people get fed up. One of the favorite slogans of the atheists in America and Europe is, God, please say anything from your followers?
God, please save me from your followers.
Why? Because it's even feel. Haggling, continuing to pressurize, push, struggle. Yes, and you suggest that? Yes, we have to present our philosophy. But if you see a person is not really interested in, you know, you see that he's off, he is not ready, he's off, then leave with that, with us. Let's try to always end our interaction on a positive note, on a pleasant note. And then,
we can move forward. And change the conversation.
So then, Prabhupada says, then you are suffering. You are suffering. But I am curing also. See, at a material level, doctors see the misery of material existence everyday. But just see the misery of material existence, or even pointing out the misery of material existence, doesn't necessarily persuade people to be take up solution. Because the nation of Maya is that she never makes a person hopelessly frustrated. The translation along with it is always some hope. Yes, the same, but you'll be cured. So doctors see so much suffering, so they think, yes, I can enjoy. Therefore, there are two parts to operation. You know the issue of the chest? Vidyamcha vidyamcha yasthar vedovayam. So, avidyamcha, you have to point out the necessity of materials on time. But they alone are not a sufficient impetus to take Krishna consciousness. Because the materials will go away after some time. They will come after some time again also. But they will not always be there at the same level of intensity. And that's why even we may have to start practicing Krishna consciousness because of some frustration, some misery. Okay, yena kena prakarena, mana Krishna yuvi, tama ho gata ho gata Krishna. But this is only a little bit of Krishna throughout the understanding. And now, this devotee finally comes to the point which Śrīla Prabhupāda says. This is an example of the Vihāta Rōra Bhūmi Śrīla, to satisfy the stomach, in order to set the nourish the body. Now this is a scriptural example, but it also makes logical sense. It's not a scriptural dogma, you have to learn more. But there is a very practical logical powerful example to illustrate this point. How do you satisfy nourish the body? By foods. Yes, this is the problem. So you see, there is logic, there is scripture. And there is a circle of intersection between them. So if you say purely in the realm of logic, often logic may lead to conclusions that are even crystals. But the logic isn't confused. Logic is like a deity. Logic is like a deity. When it's a physical game, somebody may be able to play the physical game so expertly under the amazed. How do you do that? Like for example, some people lose this. Just actually bend their body so many in another one. Their body is made of bones or what? And it's a physical skill. Like that is a logical skill. Logical skill at the level of the mind. No. I said, I'm not going to do it. I'll do one thing. I'll refuse that I'll do something else. I'll get to do the same thing. You share this too. Logic is basically a game. And by logic, we can prove anything and destroy you. If we want. Therefore, logic itself is inconvenience. So, therefore, we have to find out the circle where logic and scripture is. And present. So, here there is an example which is logical and spiritual. Yes, if you don't nourish the stomach, then you will not get any better. And then she will look for something else further in that very simple answer. So, before, Śrīla Prabhupāda talks about how this world is miserable and what I do. See, the latest Prabhupāda article asked me, and this was the topic that I discussed. Many times people when they see suffering, they say, the suffering proves that there is no war. Many times when the suffering proves that there is no war. But the point is that there are two factors here. There is design and there is suffering. So when we see suffering, we infer that there is no design. But there's an assumption. The assumption is what? The design should be made in a living that there is no suffering. That is an unspoken assumption. But everyone has to believe so. every product that is made has a particular purpose for the reason. So if I use a mobile for typing a book, the mobile is useful for its purpose. But if even the best design can be faulted if I keep its purpose out of the picture. Somebody will say, very nice bungalow. And then you want to use that bungalow, and that bungalow is meant to be like a five star residence for wealthy people. And then you want to, we have a chance to have 500 people in that city. Very difficult. So, that's why we should be designed. But that's a luxury bungalow, and that's not meant for other purposes. Every person has to be evaluated in connection with design. So, if a design has to be evaluated with its purpose. So, the purpose of the material world is not happiness. The purpose of the material world is a transitional existence. We are here in the material world, like Jesus said in the Bible, that this world is a bridge. Don't try to get the house right, cross over. The purpose, this world is designed for the purpose of a temporary transitional existence. So if you understand this purpose, okay, what is the purpose of life in this world? It's purification. It doesn't matter. And in that direction. When we find this world is well designed, and if you guys see this world is designed for material joy, you find it completely disappointing and disturbing the world. So, once you understand, okay, so this world is not meant for happiness. And that's why we have to increase our ingredients. But it means that we have purpose. For purpose, for example, many of your students in Austria. Now when you stay as students in hostel, what is the purpose? Yes, you make sure have a nice bed, nice room. But the purpose of staying in the hostel is not that you make your hostel room also into your own bungalow. And you get a fridge over there, get a television over there, get a AC over there. And try to enjoy. It's a transitional thing. So that is really interesting, it's a transition thing. And we try to have as much basic amenities as possible. But we need to go beyond it. So the physical body is also in basically a transitional saying. If you try to make it a permanent saying, you can't. You go over, you get increased in that. The transitional saying place, so you use it for this work. So when we are across, we understand, I am here for my education. So like that, when we are in the material body, we have to work, I am here for a communication, for a learning language. And then we find this word is a learning problem. And if we start cooperating with natural law by explaining, then we start experiencing happiness, even in the material world. We start experiencing our mind becoming more peaceful, our hearts becoming more joyful, and as we progress, nothing will happen more than that. So Srila Prabhupada concludes by saying that you must cooperate. No question of an alternative. You must cooperate, otherwise you will never be happy. So, there is no use quarreling facts. Yes, they are facts. And facts simply win because they are facts. Or they win because they are facts. So, even if I don't believe that I am going to die, it's not only change. Oh, I am not. Spiritual life is very unambitious and very pessimistic. It's not pessimistic, it is realistic. This is the reality, we accept the facts. And then, actually, we become ambitious. to go back to the spiritual world in the new temptation, become purified, this is the temptation. So, as devotees, we cannot give up our ambitions. But a devotee is diligently ambitious. A mercy person is diligently ambitious, foolishly ambitious. So, see, the principles apply. Same principle apply. If a cricketer has worked hard and becomes successful, the principle is of working hard, of disciplining oneself, of training oneself. Those principles hold true. You know, even if a person is materially successful, we respect that person for material success. Because material success cannot be achieved without hard work. When the Nawab Sri Shastri in the palace of Sri Maswami, all the Brahmins go because he's a king, he's a representative of God. I don't even accordingly. He's respected. So, the principles for achieving anything worthwhile in life are common for material life and spiritual. Yes, we reduce to people. We cannot deny the fact that they work hard. Anybody who is successful in material life, often they also sacrifice their material pleasures. They also discipline, pray, work very hard. And they achieve success. But the misfortune is that they are ambitious in a frustrated direction. They are ambitious in a direction that is moved to frustration. So those principles that we apply in emotional life. And one time, one devotee asked the Prabhupada, Mr. Prabhupada gave different answers to these questions. Prabhupada, what is the secret of your success in studying Krishna consciousness of the world? Generally, Prabhupada gave the answer that, I just repeat the word of my Krishna consciousness. But this part of the conversation, Prabhupada is a surprise in us. Prabhupada says, I work as hard as I could. And I did not waste any time. I worked as hard as I could, and I did not waste any time. So now, the Prabhupada put the card. He listened for a great few hours that night, he traveled around. So, it's not that the devotee is not ambitious. The devotee also is ambitious. But what we are careful about is, what we are ambitious about. That choice is important. So as a devotee, we want to rise from passion to goodness and to transcendence. We cannot use spirituality as an excuse for becoming lazy and descending to the world. If you work hard, but for what purpose? That's very important. So the principles of achieving success in life, it's not like a training, it's similar to the material success of the world. But the result is entirely different based on what we choose. And the whole purpose of the Bhagavad Gita was to make Arjuna have the right choice. Arjuna has been able to fight, Arjuna has trained. Arjuna not that he just was my religion or my religion. Yes, he was talented, but you know how. Nice huge impact. So he was working hard. So, yes. Now, when you say dependent, this is the last point I'll conclude with. Independently, we cannot be happy. Now, dependence doesn't mean pessimism. Dependence doesn't mean lack of connection. Dependence basically means choosing our goal based on guidance from Krishna. So, yes, Krishna has a reservation here. We are dependent on Krishna for that guidance. But apart from that, we have to work hard. And that's why we are ambitious. And if we are ambitious for Krishna, we find that our ambition is glorious returns. We are so good for the body, we know so much encouragement and happiness in our own life, and we think that is future advance. So, dependence is not contradictory to dynamic. We can be dependent and we can still be dynamic. Arjuna was completely dependent on Krishna for fighting the war, but still he was totally dynamically fighting the war. Why? So the purpose of fighting the war was given by Krishna and he was the purpose. And after all, he's so dynamic. So we shouldn't think that they may have to slideshow this point. Common excuses for not wanting to be dependent. We will feel that if I become dependent, then all the pieces of my life will go, all the excitement will go, all the enjoyment will go. No, we won't. Because actually, when you choose the right goal, then our dynamism gets a fruitful direction. We are not too dynamic anymore. But without the right growth, the dynamism has a fruitless perish. But with the right growth, we are from scripture, then the dynamism truly fruitful direction. And it is so much for the good of the world and for our civilization, for our general practice. So that's why I think the Gita, Lord Krishna concludes his instructions to Uddhava in a beautiful shloka. And Krishna Chaitanya says, one who cherishes this verse in his heart, from Krishna will soon come and reside in his heart, and he will return back. So what is that verse? Esha buddhimatam buddhi,
Esha buddhimatam buddhi,
Manisha chamanishinam,
Manisha chamanishinam,
Yatsatyam anteneha,
Yatsatyam anteneha,
Matena apnavati mamratam,
Matena apnavati mamratam.
So Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a very beautiful dialogue with Uddhava and Krishna in this verse. What is the meaning of this verse? Esha buddhimatam buddhi. This is the wisest of all persons. Manisha Manishya. He is the most Manishya. Mind controlled. Intelligent of all people. Who is that? Yes, Satyam Anriteneha. Anriteneha means this material existence is almost like non-existence. Because any moment you can take, any moment that can come. But one who uses this illusory material existence to attain the real spiritual existence. Marte Avnotimantam. Who uses this perishable material body to attain an eternal spiritual body. He is the most excellent among all these. And this is a very young sort of perfection. Okay, you will have to learn the Bhakti. So, Chakravarti Pad has introduced the Bhakti.
You did?
So, it doesn't mean that you know, you are devotee. Everything there is so intelligent. The intelligent is in two ways. One is my knowledge of scripture, and second is by earning money. So I would say that your devotees are very wealthy. So they are not very clear about what is money. And even from the intellectual point of view, the jnani is there, play around the shloka, and that's more than devotees. So how can you say that your devotees are the most intelligent people?
So Krishna says,
imagine if somebody comes to you. And he gives to you, you have a jewel which is worth 1 crore. And he talks with you, and you give him one rupee, and they give him 1 crore rupees, 1 crore jewel from you. And what do you think of this person?
They are very interesting.
So Krishna says, this is what my devotees do. They come to me and give their material existence, one less thing. It's so fragile and vulnerable. And they take them in the throat. So are they going to
eat it? Are they going to eat it?
And then Uddhava has a question in his mind. And he gives the answer to Krishna and just says, so do you think my food will make a fool out of me?
If you give 1 rupee, I take 1 crore rupee.
So Uddhava says, no, my dear Lord. Yes. It's not that they make a fool out of you, but you are conquered by their love. So, when they lovingly offer their one life to their hero, this is a bargain which is not based on logic and reason. It is a bargain based on love. So, when they offer this one life to you, they are so conquered by the love that is in the offering that you offer eternal existence. And that's why in this Marthi of Moti Mahatam, temporary perishable material existence we offer to Krishna to get eternal existence. This is the ambition for you, spiritual ambition. You want to gain eternal existence by offering, by using this brief material existence for the best possible purpose that you can use it. And even though material point of view, as you become more and more purified and advanced, you become more and more joyful materially in this world also. And ultimately, you will gain eternal happiness. Thank you very much. Are there questions?
For all depends on others' money, it's content as a Prabhupada. Since that applicable for
in devotionalism. In devotionalism, it should not be materially or financially dependent on others. The traditional system, the ashrams, the brahmacharya, the sannyas ashram, are dependent on financially and self-sufficient. But then the dhrasta ashram is also culturally, philosophically, intellectually, spiritually dependent on others, down so on. That is not dependent, that is symbiotic relationship. But in general, dependence can be problematic if it is a material thing. And that's why Sri Prabhupada says that a devotee is dependent on Krishna spiritually. Now, material dependence means what? It doesn't mean that if you don't do any work and say Krishna take care of me. I was studying as dependent on Krishna. See, often the idea of dependence is not understood. Dependence is not for our endeavor. Dependence is for the result. A devotee is dependent on Krishna, not for the result, not for the endeavor, but for the result. A devotee has to work hard, because that is his duty. But after working hard, the result doesn't come, it is perfect. So, now of course, our work will have to balance. As we are working in a company, we are studying in a college, we have to put in our effort. But sometimes, despite putting in our effort, we cannot get it. But it's not that we don't do that, we don't do that for us. But in Prabhupada talks of over-dependence. That means, you know, because they are being stretched too much. You know, just like a boss in the road, 15 hours, 18 hours, 20 hours. That's not the situation we are managing so much. So that's our over-dependence now. Okay. It's true.
Okay.
newspapers, journals, books, magazines, whatever I know. சம்பாதி